These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelleher and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones on the Nathan Eovaldi signing and other things Red Sox. Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, Maz, I usually agree with your baseball stuff, but that article you wrote about how Eovaldi isn't worth $17 million is complete nonsense. I mean, you said it yourself, you have closers making $17 million. Rich Hill, that bum with the Dodgers, is making $20 million. I mean, that's what the market is for third and fourth starters.
Okay, so, you're writing clickbait, Maz.
Yeah, apparently I am. Yeah, Bedard could use me. First of all, I don't think Rich Hill's making $20 million a year. I'll check that. Secondly, closers are making $17 million. And generally speaking, there are guys that do it on a year-in, year-out basis who have shown some level of durability. So I'm sorry, Derek. You can get all bent out of shape about it if you want. I'm not telling you I dislike Nathan Eovaldi or didn't want him back, because I like him and I want him here. But and the reality is that whether it's right or wrong, most guys' resumes dictate what they get paid. Okay, so I'm not telling you it's right either, but most people get paid for past performance. It gives you some indication of who they are and what they're capable of. This guy's contract is nuts. It's borderline nuts.
Rich Hill's making $18.5 million.
It's that year. Much?
Yeah.
Okay, that's stupid too.
Pete in Delaware, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I agree with Matt, but I think one thing that stands out with Eovaldi is how hard he throws and he doesn't walk people. And the other thing, I disagree. I think Porcello's value may actually be up because he is the only guy really on our staff. I mean, you could argue price, but he picks up the ball every time. And with Sale's shoulder, Eovaldi right now, you brought him in the equation. These are guys who have durability issues. I think Porcello may be more valuable.
Man. I mean, look, to me, again, it's one of the most underrated qualities in the game for pitchers. For players, is the guy who can go out there every turn and not miss it. And so is Porcello overall, is he relatively mediocre? Yeah, he's a B pitcher, maybe B minus, like somewhere in that area. He's essentially in his career a 500 pitcher with an ERA at 4. But his real value comes in that he takes the ball every 5 days, and he'll generally give you 6 innings.
Rick Porcello as a starter since 2009, his rookie year, 2009 at the age of 20, game started. You ready? 31, 27, 31, 31, 29, 31, 28, 33, 33, 33.
Yeah, he's money.
No one does that anymore.
No, and it's rare. And so that's why a guy like that does have value because, again, it's one of the sports, maybe the only sport, where you can really look at it and say there is value in going out there and giving 6 innings and losing.
What's his trade value?
Rick Porcello. With 1 year not as high as you would think. But if there's a contending team that needed a stable guy in the middle of the rotation, you could get something decent for him. You'd get a good prospect for him.
Take a look at the Brewers flow chart and tell me what you want, and I'll make you a deal. Honestly, he'd be our best guy. Billy in Rhode Island, your thoughts?
Hi, Falco. How you doing?
Good.
I'm somewhat what the last caller said about Sale. I think it's a little bit of insurance on the team, and you forget the money for a minute. Now they got 4 starters, and they got Rodriguez on the staff. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want their pitching staff right now? I think it's an insurance policy. I really do. I think if somebody goes down, Sale, even Eovaldi, as Maz has been talking about, if he goes down, they still got the 3 pitchers that they need. So what is
best staff in? Oh, I'm sorry, Billy. Best staff in baseball, Maz?
I mean, it's up there. Yeah, it's up there.
1-5.
Houston, to me, is still pretty darn good. So it's hard to sneeze at Houston. You know, I'd have to look at the Nationals now that they added Corbin. I mean, their staff is pretty good.
The Dodgers still have a good staff.
Of course. Yeah, but it's up there. Like, you know, top 5 or 6, for sure. No question about it. And essentially what you've done is taken Pomeranz out and you've put Eovaldi in. You're keeping everybody else. You've still got Porcello. You've still got Sale. You've still got Rodriguez. You've still got Price. Steven Wright, whether you can count on him or not, I don't know, but he's a depth guy. Brian Johnson, if you want to talk about a depth guy, 6th, 7th starter. And, you know, so from that standpoint, you're in good shape. And, again, the thing that really makes Eovaldi appealing to me is the versatility. He's not afraid to go to the bullpen. He's not afraid to throw in between starts. And the stuff is off the charts when he's locked in. So all of that is good. The question is, like, as it is with a lot of other guys on their staff, will he hold up? I don't know.
Okay, Frank in the car, your thoughts.
Hey, so my question is, if you could rent a player for the playoffs, and the playoffs only, you know, who will give you the same performance that Evaldi did this postseason, what is that worth? And the reason why I ask that is because I think he's more than just a right-handed.
Oop, okay, your phone's crapping. But
has great value.
I mean, if he is just in and out in the regular season but does what he does in the postseason, don't you take it?
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's worth it. He's worth it. I mean, if he gives you what he did in October, this is like, you know.
He was their best pitcher through the last month and a half leading into the postseason.
I mean, in October, it was ridiculous. He was really the guy that Cora leaned on. I mean, Cora would manage it in such a way that Sale was coming out of the game early. Price was coming out of the game early. This guy, he was letting go six or seven. It's like, nope, no problem. They treated him like Schilling. That's what they treated him like, or Beckett in 07. And dare I say that with the relief outings and pressure spots, he gave them what Mariano Rivera gave the Yankees early in his career when he was a setup man. So that, all of that is true. The only question is, can he repeat it? To me, that's the question. Can he repeat it? This isn't about what his ceiling is. We all know what the ceiling is. We saw it. The question is, can a guy who's never repeated it now repeat it? They say yes. I have serious doubts about that.
Meanwhile, Tony and Shirley joins us right now. Tony and Shirley in.
I want to go right now. Just hear me out, Maz. You're talking out of your ass, and you know baseball. Don't get me wrong. Anybody take in consideration where it came from? Hurt, so he's younger than he really, really is. And is that a pitching coach? Maybe they saw something these other guys never saw. And they see for 17, he's worth it. He's younger than wherever he is. He had to be a top prospect coming up, I would think. And I just want your thoughts on that. I think it's a coaching that had a lot to do how he pitched.
Okay. Tony and Shirley out. How much do you give the Red Sox pitching staff? You know, the coaching.
Well, I would tell Tony, first of all, Tony, if you listen to this show, you know I talk on my ass every day. Okay, so this isn't anything new.
Is this Dana Lavangi? Is this that nerd with the Bannister nerd with the...
There's some of that. Yeah, there's some of that. Because I heard some of this when they first brought him over. That one of the things they sat down with Evaldi at the beginning and they said to him, look at your cutter here. This is your best pitch now. You should be throwing this more than your fastball.
79% of the time.
Exactly. So it was one of those. And then it got to the point where he was throwing it too much. And so the reality is that, and this is not anything we don't know, when it comes down to pitching, it's about mixing it all up and being able to throw all of them for strikes at various points in the count. That's what it is. So if you can do that with regularity, you're going to get a lot of people out. And we saw this in the postseason. Evaldi was throwing curveballs in there, cutters in there, fastballs for strikes. The hitter didn't know what was coming. It was all in the strike zone. And he could throw all of it. So this isn't people are mistaking this for this isn't about what he did or what he's capable of. I'm saying look at it from a pure economical standpoint. If Nathan Evaldi were on the market without October, and I know that's a hard thing to take out, but if he were on the market without October, he'd have gotten less than half of what he got on the market. Half. Less than half.
Okay, but can't you make the case that October showed everybody what the ceiling is there?
Yeah.
And that he hadn't reached it yet in his career.
So the world saw it, but I think we already knew what the ceiling was with this guy.
Oh, that he could do it in those situations? Stop. We never knew that.
Well, so that situation, again.
I mean, the stuff is the stuff. But to come through in those situations?
Yes, unique. But it's so now we know he has good makeup. He can harness the stuff. He can focus all of that. He'll take the ball. Excellent. Bulldog mentality, the whole nine yards. Great. Is the arm going to explode again? It's already exploded twice.
Well, I've got a story to read for you on that. Where there's reason to believe it's not going to explode, it's actually less likely to explode now that it's exploded twice.
Is this Alex Speer?
Wait till you hear this story.
Oh, no, I read it.
Ray in Las Vegas, what do you got for us, Ray?
Yeah, Maz, once again, you're driving me nuts. You talk about a bad contract. I live out here. What's worse, his contract or the one that Kershaw got for $93 million over 3 years? I would imagine if you were in the L.A. market, you would have been out of your mind on that one. And let's face
who would you rather have the next three? Yeah, Ray, it's a good one. Who would you rather have over the next 3 years? Kershaw at his money or Evaldi at his?
You can't be serious, right?
Yes,
Kershaw.
Evaldi. What's he done in the playoffs
for 3 years?
You know what, Maz? Three more years at 30-something million, and you know his ceiling. Now you know his ceiling.
I'd take Kershaw.
He's good, not great in the postseason. He's good, not great as a pitcher. He's lost his velocity.
I'd take Kershaw.
Well, now you're paying for the past and not projecting towards the future. Okay. That is bad general managing right there.
So that is 3 years. It's only 3 years. You make it sound like it's seven.
Yeah, so I feel like in the third year, Kershaw may not even be out there.
Yeah, Valdi might not be out there in July. Like, you're worried about the year three. Like, and the other thing is, what are you going to get? Like, are you going to get the same guy for a whole season that you got for, let's call it, not even half a season? Because he went through a little gap there in the middle where he sucked, which everybody conveniently forgets. So he started out like gangbusters, then he went cold, and then he picked it up again. So, and overall, again, I'm happy they kept the pitcher.
Seems it.
But nobody can sit here and tell me that he's not overpaying.
Well, how about another comp? What's left on that Zach Greinke deal? 3 years, $80 million remaining on that. Who would you rather have?
So honestly, I haven't seen Greinke throw in a while, Murray. I don't even know what his numbers were last year.
Well, he seemed to help the Diamondbacks a whole hell of a lot.
But I'm just telling you that the fact that we are now mentioning Nathan Eovaldi in the same breath as Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke tells me how stupid this has gotten.
Felger Mavs from the Seaport, it's half the money. I'd rather have Eovaldi at this contract than Kershaw at his.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, take the money out of it. Next 3 years, which pitcher would you rather have? See, why are you pausing? It's Kershaw!
I don't know.
If you could trade Nathan Eovaldi for Kershaw right now, you wouldn't do it?
I watched a lot of Kershaw this postseason. I know his ceiling. He doesn't strike people out anymore like he used to.
Oh my God.
He doesn't.
It's absolutely.
You're in love with the name there, Maz. There's a weak mental makeup with
that guy,
too.
You're in love with October.
That's when it matters.
No, you're completely. Now, you guys are like.
I'm not saying Eovaldi's the best pitcher in the game. I mean, I'll give you 20 guys I'd rather have than Nathan Eovaldi. I just don't know if Kershaw's one of them.
Sure.
I mean, I'd rather have that Buehler kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that Walker Buehler. Gee, I'll take him any day of the week over Nathan Eovaldi. But Kershaw, I might take Ryu over Eovaldi. See, it's not that I'm overrating Eovaldi. I'm a little down on Kershaw.
I'm telling you, people are overrating Eovaldi.
Okay, you're overrating Kershaw, going on the name. Again, we are here at the Seaport Hotel. We are accepting your toy and monetary donations, which I think this nice lady just came by and donated to Christmas in the City. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate it. I left out one auction item, Maz. They made a Felger, special Felger and Maz.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys can grab that on the simulcast, David, but this is a special Felger Maz Christmas reef with a picture of Maz in, I want to say, at Tufts in your 20s.
No, this is Waltham Cable Access Television.
Oh, God.
In my 20s when I was doing TV.
And you had hair, but they cover it with a Christmas hat.
The Fuppets.
You have a Fuppets picture. You got a Felger picture in the when we played the Globetrotters that day.
Correct.
Felger and Maz looking dorky in our shirts. So just say 98.5, the Sports Hub, Felger and Maz Christmas Reef. I'm going to start the bidding at $7.50. So I think it's right in that range.
And underneath the 98.5 logo in the middle here is a picture of Murray naked.
Okay, $8.50. The bidding starts at $8.50. You get to see Murray's package there in the middle of that reef. So that's just one. And we got some legit items, though, here for the fundraiser. So come on by. We'll take any of your donations before 6 o'clock, which is when the event starts anyway. We stay on the board for all your Eovaldi stuff. So we got a lot to hash out there with the Red Sox and Eovaldi. We do want to introduce a Celtics thought coming up right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Make sure that we're locked in during our shoot-arounds, whether it's on a back-to-back or, you know, we have a few days in between. You know, we're having fun doing so, and we should have fun kicking people's ass. I think that's competing at a high level. There should be no excuse for our group to not play at a certain type of level that we expect from ourselves and what our coaches expect from us. So, you know, there are no more excuses for us at this point.
All right, Celtics back in action tonight. It's been a while. Feels like it's been a long time since we've had a Celtics game, but they're hosting the Knicks tonight at the Garden. That was Kyrie Irving the other day saying that we're feeling it and we should now have fun kicking people's asses. How do you feel about that?
Well, no, I think it's great. They've won three in a row now. I mean, you know, let's throw them a parade. They won three in a row. They beat Minnesota the last time out, and apparently they got all the answers now. So let's just go. This is apparently that this is designated Maz as the a-hole day.
No, because I agree with you on this.
I do too.
So I understand that the last game was on some level eye-opening, in that Gordon Hayward looked more like himself than he has at any other point this season. They've changed the starting lineup. It looks like roles are starting to be clarified, and the pieces are starting to settle. Like, I get that. You win three in a row, and all of a sudden now we're going to kick people's asses? Is this how they got into trouble in the first place?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I need to see, like, 3 weeks of this, a month. I mean, it just seems a little bit premature. I like the confidence. They do look better. Looks like Hayward's finally healthy, but it is just one game. Smart should be in the starting lineup, but everybody calm down. It's been three games.
So, you know, who agrees with you is Brad Stevens. We'll play a cut from him with Beadle. And Zoe yesterday, he said the exact same thing. But I don't like the stuff that's coming out of these guys' mouths pretty much the entire year.
I mean, it's
pretty
like
much the entire year.
All of a sudden, three in a row is what it takes.
They got it. All the shoot-arounds look good. We can look forward to kicking everybody's ass.
So, and I say this with all the respect in the world. I've never met Kyrie Irving. You know, he talks like he knows everything, but that's all right, because so do I. So I would tell you that with regard to the, you know, kicking people's asses, shut up, go 16-4 over 20, and then I'll listen. Okay? Three in a row? You beat Minnesota? Oh, please, shove it. Like I'm saying, the Knicks are in town tonight. The last time they were here, they beat you. So I don't want to win against the Knicks tonight. I want an ass-kicking. After what happened the last time that the New York was in town, the Celtics should go out there and want to absolutely pace this team. They should want to take the Knicks, lay them on the floor of the Garden, and step on their faces. That's what they should want to do. They should want to beat this team by 30 tonight.
Without any talk, though, because, again, they should kill a team like this that they should have beat the last time. It's just this continued lack of humility from the team collectively. Outside of Stevens and Marcus Smart, who seem to be the only two that get it, it's a little annoying.
Exactly. I think they're 6.5 behind Toronto. So why don't you worry about just gaining the next game and before you worry about, you know, again, setting the world on fire? Or
if they win by anything less than 20 tonight, it's a loss.
I love it. Okay. How about Terry Rozier? He's still at it. He does an exclusive interview with The Atlantic. I don't know how exclusive it can be when he's yapping to everybody, but I don't mean to diminish Jay King, but I guess he got him alone yesterday or the day before. Still at it. Now, I'm going to cherry pick the quotes that make him look bad, but so be it, because he said it.
Felger and Mass Processor.
Yeah, you know, he says, I want everything I deserve. He's still at it. I want everything I deserve, and I'm going to get everything I deserve. Like I said, I've been around this game long enough to see how both sides work, and that's why it helped me make my decisions. When asked what he felt he deserved, be it money, opportunity, or playing time, Rozier essentially said the expected, subtly hinting at the lack of playing time he gets on a Boston team with enough guards to make him a number five option. Quote, I just want to play. I just want to play. Play and have fun, of course. Wee. Put a smile on my face. Quote, Terry's at his best when he's smiling.
Nothing worse than people who refer to themselves in third person.
Everybody knows that. I like to smile, have fun, stuff like that. I'm always going to play for the name on the front, not the name on the back. Terry's at his best when he's smiling. Maz, your thoughts on these quotes?
Again, I would just say, just shut up, please. Both of these guys. In fact, I would tell just about every guy in the Celtics at this stage, with the possible exception of Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris.
Put a sock in it.
Yes, shut up. Just shut up and start winning games. Start rattling off 8 out of 10 regularly. I don't want to hear, they're all talking about themselves still. So, like, you know, I'm going to get what I deserve, but I'm done talking.
No. And that was his last quote. He says, I'm done with all the bull crap. I just want to help my team be successful. You're done with all the bull crap. You started the bull crap.
So the other one I loved.
There was no bull crap. There was no bull crap until you started it. The other quote was this. You know, how is he going to, you know, ride out the year? He says, just thug it out.
This is the one I liked. Oh, because it's so hard.
So again, not being a starter, getting reduced minutes, it's reality Rozier is beginning to show signs of accepting, at least if it means that the Celts will continue to win. Quote, just thug out this year. And do what I'm supposed to do. Help my team be successful in the best way I can. And there's going to be some ups and downs. There's already been some downs. Oh, wow. He's just going to thug out this year, man.
Yeah, no. Thug it out because, man, It sucks playing for a good team.
Well, they have the flyout tank. You said the Four Seasons in Atlanta. That is, again, tough. Again, thoughts and prayers to Terry.
No, it is. It's to be on a team that's picked to go to the finals. I mean, that sucks.
Yeah. And again, I wonder where this irrational self-confidence came from. Gee, I wonder. I wonder if it's from the thousands of people that chant his name and love the nickname and buy all the junk and the scary Terry shirts he's now being sued for. Yeah, it's you. You did this, just like you did with Isaiah Thomas.
You being you people.
Yes.
You people, the green teamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you know what the problem is with guys like Terry Rozier is if you were to say to him, and I like Rozier, I've always liked Rozier since he's been here. I like the way he plays. But if you were to say to him, so wait a minute, would you rather be starting in Cleveland, who sucks, or be here on this team right now, what would you pick?
He's been saying here, but
I don't believe it. Yeah.
He's acting like Cleveland, and you know why?
I don't believe it.
Because he thinks that if he's in Cleveland, they'll be good.
Right. He sees himself as a starter, and he sees himself as that guy.
As a guy that will change the direction of that franchise. And this is where the guys in that league, more than any other, have a distorted view of themselves. Too many of them. Most of them don't understand that they really can't impact the game or a franchise the way that a guy like LeBron or Kyrie, you know, and LeBron's exceptional anyway. He's an all-timer. But Kyrie, the Celtics instantaneously became better when Kyrie ended up here. We all knew that. The whole thing changed when Kyrie got here. And there's a handful of guys like that in the league, maybe 10-ish. You know, Kawhi Leonard's another one, Kevin Durant, blah, blah, blah. But the rest of them? I mean, you really can just play musical chairs with them.
So I don't think they're out of the woods. I don't think they're out of the woods when it comes to, again, everyone accepting their role and, you know, being what they have to be. Hayward has done it, but I heard Himmelsbach or someone say recently that Hayward recently said, I still see myself as a starter in this league. I'm a starter in this league. So he's accepted it, but how does he view himself? And, again, his branding and the commercials, that doesn't fly for a reserve player, whether you're playing 30 minutes or not, man. You know what's important to these guys, Maz, to get the introduction and come out and do the woohoo, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, like they all got to do that crap, you know, like that's a big thing for them apparently. So, you know, Hayward's not, he's not, you know, 6'9" out of Butler University. Wow, wow, wow. You know, like they all want to do that crap. He doesn't get to play. He doesn't get to play his jive ass games there before the game. And how long is that going to fly for Gordon Hayward? I wonder. Jaylen Brown has been saying he's going to accept a reserve role if that's best for the team. But I don't know. I think that's another kid who likes to hear 6'9" power forward from Cal. Where is he from?
Cal.
Yeah. From Cal, Jaylen Brown. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like it's all important to them. So we'll see. We'll see how that all goes. I mean, really, is there anything more ridiculous and childish than the introductions to an NBA game?
Murray, it's an idea for the next video. Felger and Maz introduction.
Yes. It's all one stupid, yeah, like.
And like, we'll be the other. Me, Jimmy Stewart, Billy, you know, Lanny.
And it's all the same thing.
Yeah, Tucker, our intern. You guys can walk through us.
You're rolling dice. You're slapping that ass. You're making it rain. Like, I got it all. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Like, they all got some sort. And you know what? I probably dated myself.
Yeah,
there,
you
like,
really
yeah.
did. Nothing wrong with a little swagger from players nowadays. Like, what do you want?
Oh,
just to walk out like, oh, ready to play ball, sir.
Murray,
where do you need me, coach?
Murray, a little swagger? Have you seen these introductions?
Yeah, I kind of find it entertaining.
Oh, come on.
I do. It just adds to the game.
It doesn't add to the game. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's not that bad.
You children.
From Melrose, 6'5", Jim.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely roll those dice. Like, that would definitely be mine.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm here, Coach Stevens. Where would you like me to go?
I know. I get it. It's the Cristal in the back of the limo with the big ass and the booty. I got it. 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 All right. I got it. Can we play ball now? Like, I don't know why we just went off on that.
Well, on this, real quick, it'll be interesting to see what kind of game that Jason Tatum has tonight, because he's getting chirped at by his maybe now ex on Instagram.
Uh-oh.
This literally just popped up. Duke,
hold on. We have some late-breaking NBA nonsense. Stand
yeah,
by.
Duke volleyball player by the name of Sammy underscore Amos. Amos? Amos on Instagram.
Let me see.
Not unattractive.
Okay. Yeah, huh?
So she just put on her Instagram story, "You think you played me, but... who did I end up losing? I mean, what did I lose? A boy that didn't appreciate what I did for him? What did you let go? A girl that would go out of your way just to please you, and someone that rode with you through thick and thin? A girl who loved you regardless of your flaws? Trust me, there were a lot," in parentheses. "You can easily be replaced, but a girl like me? Good luck finding a girl who put up with you like I did. Sorry, you played your damn self. @JTatum0.
Okay.
Sammy Amos.
So there you go. There's your Celtics Minute. Did you enjoy it? Again, Felger and Mavs from the Seaport Hotel in advance of the Christmas in the City fundraiser that starts at 6, but we'd love to see you come by at any time, donate money or toys. We're accepting them all day long. We're off to a good start. Thanks to Mary in Manchester. Very nice to see Mary representing there and come in and give a little something here to Christmas in the City and the cause. More on that, but your calls, I promise. Right after Murray's update, don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mavs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's all easy to come to conclusions when you're winning three games in a row. You know, I think that we have to put more than a week together before we feel like we've made set in stone conclusions. I think that ultimately we've got to play well for a month. We've got to play well for 2 months. We've got to show some more consistency than we've shown throughout the first 2 months of the season.
So I mentioned before, there's one guy who's not buying it. That's Brad Stevens. So he's continued to say the right things. So, you know, he's not out of the woods either. Again, all these guys got to accept being reserves and accepting their roles, and have they done it yet? Starting to give some lip service, and Hayward certainly seems to be accepting and thriving. But will the others do it and all that? So there's your Celtics thought. Back to your phones here. As promised, Nathan Eovaldi, the lead story today. Alan in Florida wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, I can wake up now. You're done with that horrible team. By the way, one of those three wins was against Cleveland. I don't think they beat a 500 team all year. Anyway, who cares? I just want to tell you, first of all, you're talking about pitches, Maz. Houston has lost almost the whole pitching staff other than Verlander and Cole. To say that they're a better staff than the Red Sox is ridiculous.
No, you're right. I forgot that Keuchel's a free agent. You're right about that. Go ahead.
Okay. And the Dodgers, as far as I'm concerned, Bueller is a stud. I hate to tell you, Maz, I love you, but I hate to tell you, Kershaw's seen his best day. That contract was more or less just for public, you know, they're in L.A., public relations. He's not a number one anymore. He isn't during the year, and he isn't, and definitely isn't in the playoffs. But I don't care about that. I'm just telling you, guys like to pick on the Red Sox. They're the best franchise in town. They're the smartest franchise. Look at the genius in Chicago. How about Hugh Darvish? How's that signing looking now? Hugh Darvish that they signed for $1 zillion for, I think, 6 years. So, you know, the genius makes mistakes, too. He's won one world championship. Lucky for a rain delay, or he'd have none. And right now...
Alan, thanks for that. You know what, Alan? I'm just going to cut you right there. Thank you for the call, because I want to use that to jump off and ask Maz. Are the Red Sox the smartest team in town?
No. No,
who,
the Patriots.
Who is?
Patriots are.
They still are?
Yeah. Patriots are. Look, the run of success is just too long and too consistent to sneeze at.
Yeah, there were no last place finishes there with the Patriots.
No. So look, now, you know, are the Red Sox second? I don't know. I mean, you can make an argument for the Celtics too somewhere in there, because the circumstances are different. But if we're going it ultimately on championships, then it's the Red Sox. Let's not be ridiculous. I don't know what Theo has to do with the Valdi. Like, to me, that you know, I don't know what the connection is there. Why that even entered the conversation? So I don't know how many times I can say this without pissing off Red Sox fans, but apparently it's going to happen anyway. I wanted him back. I'm glad he's here. And I'm glad that, you know, I think the team did the right thing ultimately by trying to keep him and keeping him. But the contract is stupid. I mean, a guy like that getting $17 million a year, that's just ridiculous.
Nate in Boston, your thoughts on the Celtics. Hi, Nate.
So I'm not sure if it's possible to give general managers 10-day contracts in NBA, but Whit Grosvick needs to call Bill Belichick, see if he can somehow get him in here, and get Terry Rozier the hell out of Boston. Am I the only one that finds, every time he opens his mouth, I'm just more alarmed than the last time? I don't understand how true. This guy is still in Boston. And, Matt, you keep bringing up how Rozier is Kyrie insurance. I mean, Rozier as Kyrie insurance is like getting the general car insurance for a Bugatti. I mean, if Kyrie's gone, then we don't have a season. It doesn't matter. So with the Celtics.
Okay, I'm not sure if the Generals are a sponsor here at 985 The Sports Hub. If he is, that's a fine insurance group. Terry Rozier, just as a insurance policy for Terry Rozier's insurance policy for Kyrie Irving, if he keeps running his yapper and playing like an idiot because he thinks he's freaking the original Isaiah Thomas, is that worth it?
Yes. I still say yes. I'm just...
So you're worried about Kyrie's health?
I am worried about Kyrie's health. Yeah. I don't see how you couldn't be. He's another one that durability-wise, you sort of say, how does he hold up? I just think it's a rare quality in a pro athlete. There aren't a lot of guys that can play pretty much every game or take the ball every 5 days and just keep doing the job. Even if it's not an A job, it's a B, B-minus job. At least they're out there. I think there's so much value in the consistency of showing up. It has great value to a team. And so you're not going to replace Kyrie if he gets hurt, period. So the question is, what's the best you can do? And based on what Rozier did in the postseason with a bigger role, I'll take it. If he's out there with Tatum, Hayward, Horford, Smart, like, I'll take it. He can help.
Kenny and Tewksbury on the Nathan Eovaldi contract. How do you feel about it, Kenny?
Now's your little dingle ball. I want to put a hook in you and hang you in my tree. How can you say this contract's ridiculous? $17 million is peanuts. Don't you remember the pay in the contract in October?
Kenny, hold it like a pizza the next time, buddy.
So the contract's ridiculous for the pitcher. And again, if I understand they're projecting. I'm just telling you that every guy that hits the market, we know what he is. We look at his resume, and we say, here's what the value is. I never looked at Nathan Eovaldi and said $17 million. Not even close. I thought the number was closer to 10. I think I initially started to say 8 to 10. Then I changed to 10 to 12. I ultimately came in at 3 and 40, which is a little over 13. And I thought, that's enough. And he got 4 and 70, essentially. 4 and 70 for Nathan Eovaldi, who only once in his career has pitched 200 innings, basically, or made 30 starts. And even then, it was 29, I think, right? But let's give it to him. Once. He's done that once. Like, that's nuts.
Okay, folks, we got the Nathan Eovaldi signing. Your thoughts? Maz does not love the contract. I don't know if you could tell. Okay, we've got that. We got the Celtics back on the board. We'll talk about them today. Your Patriots calls are always welcome. We have some Patriots thoughts coming up as well. We're at the Christmas in the City fundraiser here at the Seaport Hotel. It officially begins at 6. We're going to take you right up until 7 o'clock tonight, so a special bonus hour as well. While the fundraiser starts at 6, you can come by at any time to donate toys and or cash donations to help the cause here at Christmas in the City. For more on what Christmas in the City is, keep listening. Or go to ChristmasInTheCity.org. Also, coming up next, a giveaway. Something for free for you.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Welcome back, everybody. Felger and Mass from the Seaport Hotel. We're here in advance of the Christmas in the City annual fundraiser. So I'm going to take part in the fundraiser from 6 to 7. It starts at 6 o'clock. The public is welcome. $30 at the door, $10 for kids, all going to Christmas in the City. And we will take your donations up until then as well, anytime before 6. You want to come on by to the Seaport? They'll take whatever you can offer because they need the help. And people sometimes ask, what is Christmas in the City? So no one better to explain to you what Christmas in the City is than the founder of Christmas in the City, Jake Kennedy. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. And I did find it with my wife, we must say, so I don't get in trouble.
Okay, you and Sparky.
Yep.
Okay, so, Jake, let's start with this. Just, again, quickly, who are you? You're from Quincy, right?
I'm from originally Quincy, Massachusetts. That's correct.
Okay, and you are a physical therapist along with your brothers, Kennedy Brothers Physical Therapy, located Downtown Crossing and Needham?
Watertown, Needham, Braintree, and Cohasset.
Okay. When did you start Christmas in the City and why?
Right.
We started back in 1989 because the year before, our first child, our daughter, got too many Christmas presents. So we said, next year we'll give them three, and we'll stick to that no matter what. But then the relatives descend upon the house for the next 3 days, bearing gifts. And if they don't have children, it's very important for them. And my daughter's got her eyes. She can't even focus. And they're waiting for her to say thank you, and she doesn't even know where she is. So we said, well, let's try and find some kids who don't have that overload. And my wife and I found 165 kids in Boston, and City Hall didn't even know where the kids were. It takes a lot of work to find out where the homeless kids are living and different things like that. And we decided two things. One is we would stay volunteer, which we do, so all the money goes to the kids.
So hold on. So just back up a minute. So you said...
Yeah, I'm interested in this too.
So 1989... Yep. And it was simply a lesson to your kids, or you just thought it was a little too gluttonous for your own kids.
Right.
You said, we're going to take some of these extra gifts and give it to kids who need it.
That's correct.
Okay. And what was year two? Same. More of the same. I mean, when did you decide, and how did you go from just, you know, teaching a lesson to your family to...
Well, I mean, it was mostly because of the volunteers. Volunteers would say, what a great idea. How about if we get it, find out what their wish list present is, so not just give them a present. Then the next year, they're walking out of, we got Ray Flynn, the mayor. He said, you can use the lobby at City Hall. So next year, we're walking the mothers and the fathers walk out with their kids into the cold, trying to drag the presents to the subway. And we said, that's sad. Someone said, why don't we get buses? So now this year, we'll have like 170 buses going all over, you know. And we said, we're committed to Boston. But again, because of the volunteers now, we are committed to Boston, but we go out to Lawrence, Brockton, Quincy, Everett, Somerville, and we just keep going.
So did you start getting the involvement of the mayor in year two? That happened that quick?
No, right away.
Wow.
Mayor Flynn was a runner, so he was in our physical therapy clinic. That was easy. You know whose tie this is?
No, do share.
Mayor Menino's tie.
Oh, nice.
Another incredible supporter. Yeah.
And so you mentioned that you had to find the kids. That was not an easy thing to do. So if you can give us like a, you know, a capsule version of how did you find them? How did you find 165? Did you like start by going into a shelter, or you knew someone who knew people's names?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
did you do that?
Some shelters are registered with the state. So we found some of those shelters. Some shelters might be a three family home where they have five families staying and they share the bathroom and the kitchen and different things like that. Some families live in a motel. We went in, family came up to us at the end of the party. We then moved to BC High, and that's when we first came up with the idea. They had a second gym. We put some bouncies in it where the kids could run. Besides getting the gifts and the food and the entertainment, they could then have a surprise of like an amusement type area. And that day, a family came in. They had snuck into the party, and they said, where's our gifts? And we said, at that point, we had no extra gifts. And we said, we don't have any more. And you know, they said, we were here. They go, no, you weren't. But anyway... Where are you staying? And the night before Christmas Eve in the pouring rain, I went in, opened up a motel room, and there's the mother with two beds, five kids. She's cooking on a hot plate, and that's where they were living. It was one of the most incredible sights I've ever seen. That family today, the mother has died. The kids volunteer for us. You know, we've watched them with their kids. They're bringing their kids up, and it's... You know, there are just incredible stories like that.
Okay,
just
so if someone just asked you off the street, they just land from Mars, what is Christmas in the City? What do you do? Explain it again. Encapsulate it.
Well, we give holidays to kids who wouldn't have it. Like the first, you know, I also asked a kid, you know, what did you do last Christmas? Nothing. What, you woke up? No. Did you know it was Christmas? It's just another day. These are kids who don't know where the next school will be, where the next house will be, where the next meal will be. And their parents are extremely courageous. It's brutal. I mean, there are crazy things. Like if they get a job, they get punished and lose some benefits. You know, if you're nice enough to get your kid to get into a college, you lose benefits. It's crazy. And like that. So, I mean, there are people who abuse the system. We have met 90% of these families are so courageous. It's amazing.
But what you do is there's a big Christmas party and you provide gifts as best as you can. You go around and you collect actual lists from these kids?
So we collect the lists, and Nancy McDonald in Hingham is doing it right now, and Dion is doing it right now, and finding out what they want, and then we match it up, and then people call us, and we say, okay, if these are the kids who need gifts, and this is what they want, and then they bring them back, and they put them up the different drop-off points like the Seaport Hotel, or Lexington Toyota, or Kennedy Brothers, or different things like that, and then we just build and build and build and, you know, and get the gifts.
Okay, how big was the party last year?
Last year was, you know, it's now it's a two-day event, because the first day, let's take this year. We'll have over 6,000 guests from homeless shelters.
Unreal. Started with 165.
Yeah.
And now up to 6,000.
And then the next day, there are so many families who want to desperately come to the party, and they're not homeless. And we say to them, come the next day, and we register them, we check them out, and they come the next day. We'll take care of 3,000 families the next day, and we fill up their bags with toys and clothing from, you know, different. It's pretty amazing. It's a pretty fun day, too.
What else is in there at the party?
Well, at the day of the party for the homeless kids, which is great, because what you guys were saying, we take for granted. We take for granted that we get gifts. We take for granted that we get to listen to Christmas music, or we see decorations, or we have a warm fireplace to sit in front of, different things like that. So we really take it from the start. They walk in on a red carpet. One year, we rushed over because people were clapping for them. We said, you don't make fun of these people, and we were wrong. They step on that red carpet, and now we have all the cosplayers, those crazy cosplayers dressed as superheroes, cheering for them when they walk in. There's falling snow. They're blown away by the decorations, giant Christmas trees and things that, again, we see, but they've never seen this. They freeze and just start taking pictures in front of those things, and they start crying, and they work their way on a red carpet. They sit down, and then at that point, they can go anywhere. They can go to the, you know, hands-on exhibits from all the museums in Boston, Zoo New England, Aquarium. Like you said, Tom Brady's hairstylist and Julian Edelman's hairstylist, Peeny, cut their hair.
Does Peeny still do the ladies' hair?
Peeny still does it.
That is, ladies.
And all
that
the kids.
Let me tell you, from someone whose wife has dabbled with Peeny, that is a major, major haircut right there, folks. So that's a great, great deal.
If they come tonight.
You and I don't need Peeny, Jake.
But if I don't need anyone, but if they come tonight, Peeny will raffle off a haircut.
Oh, we got a Peeny haircut too.
Yeah, we have a Peeny haircut.
Okay, again, that is a massive.
Newberry Street. Yep.
So that's a massive. So Peeny cuts hair, and you provide meals for the mothers.
Yeah, then they're eating, and I mean, and it's in a great place. You know, video screens will show. If you don't want to go up and watch the major screen, which is a tremendous choir that's been with us, followed by, like you said, Blue Man Group or all these other acts. But all around the periphery, there's this great thing. Then a parade breaks out, and the Boston Fifes and Drums marching band lead the parade. And there's all the, you know, it's a regular Christmas parade. And Santa brings up the end, and the kids go berserk. And that's a great thing. It's Christmas in the city, but it's not, you know, it's not a religious organization or anything like that. So, I mean, it's for every single kid who needs it. And then, but the fact is they all adore Santa no matter what. And Santa counts down to 10, and that's when he opens up, you know, and he says, I have a surprise. And this red curtain that Don Law, who does that, it's John Bon Jovi's curtain. I swear to God, he gave that to us. And he says it would be the best way. And the curtain swooshes open, snow is falling, and you see all these kids rush into a full amusement park with pony rides, bungee jumps, tilt-a-whirls, merry-go-rounds. I mean, for the older kids, the young kids, just like being in an amusement. That's another thing that, you know, they don't go to Canobie Lake Park, and they don't understand. It's their first time on all these rides. It's their first pony ride. It's their first this. It's their first that. And they line up. Just the biggest line is to sit on Santa's lap and get a picture, which is so nice. And then when they're at that point, the day's been going on, they're tired, they come back, the choir goes back up on stage, they get cake and ice cream, and then the presents come out. They get a backpack full of stuffed animals, books, and age, you know, generic type toys and different things like that. But then they get the wish list. And literally, the volunteers are so adept at what they do. If you opened up, you might have forgot what you told us. You open it up and you don't have that look on your face. They literally will say, okay, wait a minute, what did you want? And I'll be right back. I'll go talk to Santa. And they whisk another toy right back in front of you. So every kid has that magical, magical
amazing
look.
Amazing.
Okay, Jake.
Really amazing.
So, again, how can people contribute? They come here tonight? You can. We got some great auction items, live auction items, raffle items. Again, the Felger and Maz Reef is up to, I think, $9.50 right there behind us. But, no, we got some four-side Celtics tickets. You got Patriots playoff tickets. You got Red Sox opening day tickets. I got things like that. So live auction, there's raffle items. We'll just take monetary or toy donations here at any time. You know, the thing starts at 6, but anytime you want to come by beforehand, you can come donate. So you need toys as much as anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll take toys. We'll take money. Some people also would say I have stocking stuffers for the kids. Our company might say I can donate this for the mothers or different things like that. We'll take anything at any time, and we'll ask for anything again because we're all volunteers and it goes to such a good thing.
Okay, so again, the event for the kids is on December 16th, but you open it up to the public for a price or for a get-in price the day before, and that raises money for Christmas in the city as well. So if people out there are interested but you're not disaffected, I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, you wouldn't ordinarily qualify if you want to go and pay. It goes right to Christmas in the City, so it goes to a good cause, and that's the day before, and you pretty much throw open the whole thing to anyone who wants to do it the day before.
So basically, the amusement park has to be in place days before because, you know, it has to pass all the all the licensing. And so basically, we opened it up last year for the very first time to the public, thinking, what a great win-win situation. It's a nice, warm amusement park. It's totally festive. Every ride you could ever want. You bring your kids there the week before Christmas and just enjoy it with your kids. Meanwhile, you teach your kids a lesson about giving back. You tell them to bring a present in for the next day for the kids who will really need it. There is different pictures of the party around the wall and different things like that. So it's to me, if I was, you know, my kids were young, I couldn't think of a better thing. Bring them to a warm amusement park in the middle of the winter, right before Christmas, to enjoy it with my family and teach my kids how important it is to give back.
Okay, that's Saturday the 15th. I want to remind people again, you've kept it 100% volunteer.
Yeah, and we'll never change that. So it turns into some hassles and some chaos, but we'll never change that. We'll always be 100% volunteer.
Okay, Jake. Thanks so much for doing what you do.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for what you do.
All right, let's raise some money today for Jake Kennedy and Christmas in the City. And again, Jake will join us at Newbury Comics on Saturday as well.
Looking forward to it.
Newbury Comics, Natick Mall, 2:30, Tony Maz, myself, the Felger Maz Show, collecting money and donations for Christmas in the City. Again, take a picture with Maz. He loves meeting the people and shaking hands and all of that.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.